Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this time when we gather together to worship you. And God, we pray that as we continue to worship you, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, that you would cause us to hear your voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. It was more than a pop. It sounded like a cannon going off to me, and I paid the price for it. You've heard of the expression, don't play with fire or you might get burned. Well, this was one of those moments for me. Timothy was a family friend, and when his parents came over, Timothy, my brother, and I, we took off for the woods. Once away from parental eyes, Timothy pulled out something I had never seen before or played with. Firecrackers. He had two types. One was ladyfingers. Ladyfingers, which are like baby firecrackers, smaller with not much bang. And he also had M80s, which were very loud and had a ton of bang. Don't play with fire, or you might get burned. We went out into the woods where there was a fast-flowing river, at least 50 yards wide, and we would light those M80s and throw them out into the water. And it would boom with a plume of water at least 15 feet high. The ladyfingers, though, they had more of a pop, pop, pop to them, and they would come strung together, and so you could light one end, and 20 or so of those little lady fingers would pop, 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 pop. Of course, some didn't go off, and we picked them up and would light them individually. Don't play with fire, or you might get burned.
Why did that sound like a good idea?
I don't know, Ken. One had a pretty short fuse remaining, maybe an inch long, and I lit it, but it didn't seem to flare up. I'd seen Tim blow on a fuse after he lit it, so I thought I would give this a try. Don't play with fire, or you might get burned. They're all here. So I lit a shorter fuse now, and I blew on it. Of course, there was no time to get rid of it, and pop! Yes, not only did I burn my fingertips, I had a major ringing in my left ear for a long time, and the left side of my face and my fingers were, just say, a tad numb. Say it with me. Don't play with fire, or you might get burned. And so, for a time, I had to live with the consequences. I learned that those lady fingers, no matter how small they seemed, still had a bit of bite to them. And my guess is that most of us here have had a similar kind of experience where we played or did something that had a little bit more bite to it than what we first thought. And as a result, we faced some type of consequence. While preparing for this sermon, I was looking at some images on Google of people who had fireworks explode in their hands. And some of those images were gruesome. And even after all these years, I felt like I got away with something big. Now, as we enter into today's scripture, the Israelites under Joshua's leadership and by the power of God have entered into and settled in the promised land. And it says this, read it with me. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and of the elders who outlived him and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Who did the people serve? The Lord. How long did they serve the Lord? Throughout Joshua and the elders' lifetime. Why? because they had seen all the great things the Lord had done. So it's not just important to know God or to know about God, but it's important to experience God and to see the great things that God has done. It helps us, it helps to keep God in front of us or in front of our vision so we will serve the Lord and our faith will grow. This is a good thing. So what happens when we don't keep God in front of us or in front of our vision, when we don't see the great things that God has done? It goes on to tell us in verse 10, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, read with me the rest of that, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. It's so important that we make sure the generation behind us knows, experiences, and sees the great things of God. We accomplish this by inviting people to service, by supporting Sunday schools with our financially, not only financially, but with our prayers and our willingness to spend time with the kids, by doing ministry and missions projects with them as well. We do this by following what God had told Moses to say and write down for the Israelites and to be read often by them. Impress the commands of God on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Impress those commands upon our children. It is by doing these things that our children and the next generations will know and experience and see the greatness of God. Like many of you parents, my parents took me to church all the way through high school, and I learned to know who God was. And though I experienced the protection of God, like with those lady fingers in M80s, it would be years. It would be some time before I recognized the protection that God had upon me in that moment. You see, we need to be intentional about sharing these experiences that we've had with God with others. My kids were young when they knew that their dad was going back to school to get a new job or changing jobs. I was speaking with my oldest son about 2 months ago and shared with him how God had called me into ministry and the wonderful things that God showed me and did for me. You know what? He had never heard that story before, or really knew the great things that God had done in my life and through my life. But what I was wanting was to simply pass on to him how I knew, experienced, and saw God. The result of not passing on the knowledge, experience, or helping the next generation to see the Lord can be catastrophic. And for Israel, after Joshua's generation died, catastrophe hit. Read it with me. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the peoples around them, and they aroused the Lord's anger. Even though there was a physical consequence to my experience with the firecrackers, the same could be held true for spiritual things. People who play with spiritual fire will get burned. There are consequences. In fact, we see that because they did not drive out all of the other people, the inhabitants of Canaan, as they were told to do, when they forgot God, they turned to the God of the other nations around them. And what was the Lord's response? They aroused the Lord's anger. So God took his hand of protection away from Israel, and they became oppressed by other nations around them. Eventually, they would cry out to God, and God would raise up a judge and that judge would deliver them from the nations that were persecuting them. A judge in this case is not like someone you would see behind a bench in a courtroom wearing a black robe. A judge was someone who would lead Israel against those who were persecuting them so that they could experience victory and freedom. And this cycle would continue on and on for many generations. They would forsake God and follow other gods of the other nations, and they would fall into sin. God would allow them to be oppressed by other nations, becoming bound by sin, oftentimes for years. The Israelites would eventually cry out to God for deliverance, and God would then raise up a judge who would deliver them, and they would remain faithful to God, get this, as long as the judge lived. And then the cycle would start over. This would happen for many generations, for well over 300 years, and between 12 to 14 judges, depending on how you count them, would be raised by God to deliver his people from the bondage they were in. You see, to me, the Israelites were playing with spiritual fire, and they got burned as a result, time and time and time again. You know, if we're honest about it, we can fall into a similar cycle. We forget God or don't trust God, and we fall into sin. We feel the oppression of being away from God because we are bound by sin. We cry out to God, save us, God. Save me from whatever it is that is burdening me. And then God delivers us from that oppression, and we're set free. You know, I really don't think anyone gets a free pass on this. This cycle just happens time and again in our lives. If only the Israelites had been more intentional about reading the law of God, about understanding who God was, and then passing on that knowledge of God and their experiences with God and how they saw God to another generation. You see, it's the reason that we keep this book of the law always on our lips. More than that we meditate on it day and night. Why? So that we might be careful to do everything written in it. And what's the result? So that we might be prosperous and successful. Not prosperous as in money, but prosperous as in the people of God. Remember, God created us to be in relationship with us, to share life together now and for all eternity. And God eventually chose Abraham to establish a great nation. It's called Israel. So that others would come to know God through this nation that served a living God. And that we would declare the praises of God, which we do today. We know that God is slow to anger and abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. Those wonderful characteristics of God. But we can't forget that God does not let the guilty go unpunished. That those who don't trust God or reject God will experience the punishment of God. It's also important for us to know that when Israel got into their spiritual messes and cried out to God, God raised up a judge, and God used some of the most unlikely people. In a time of male dominance, in a world where men were the peak of the pyramid, God raised up a woman named Deborah to be the judge who would bring deliverance and freedom to the Israelites. Another time it was Samson, this arrogant, prideful, but awfully strong guy, and who did things that displeased God. God used him to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. And another time it was Gideon, who was the least of the least. From the weakest clan and the smallest tribe of Israel, He was the youngest in his family, a family of farmers who all worshiped these false gods and idols. Of these three, I think many people feel like Gideon in some way. You know, I don't have what it takes to make a difference for God. I don't think I can stand up for God to help other people know and experience and see God. But I beg to differ. You see, God knows your name. God created you to be in relationship with you. The whole front end of the Bible screams this out loud. God knows your name. I want to be in relationship with you. And God loves you enough to have sent his son to die for you so that you could be set free from the things that bind you. Though like Gideon, we look at ourselves in the mirror and say, there's nothing special here that God can really use. God wouldn't pick me to be on his team. God isn't like a football coach, though, who is looking for brute strength or a throwing arm. God's not like a basketball coach that is looking for height and shooting ability. No, God looks at our hearts, and sees who we really are, who we were meant to be. And God says, I choose you. It's not about ability. It's about willingness. It's about being faithful. Francesca Botticelli really gets this in this song that she sings. Can you go ahead and cue that up for us? Listen to the words. Remember that God knows your name.
Conversation in the mirror, face to face with somebody less than perfect. I wouldn't choose me first if I was looking for a champion. In fact, I'd understand if you picked everyone for me. But that's just not my story.
You know, you don't have to live a life of mediocrity. Live a life for one who calls you, who knows your name, who knows your heart. Use your talents, your gifts, your time, your ability to glorify God, to bless God, and so become a blessing to others. Is there anything greater than this in life? Sure, there are ladders at work to climb, but they say it's lonely at the top. Sure, there are bigger houses, cars, and toys that you can accumulate, but all that stuff will rust, break, and wear out. You can accumulate more money than you can spend, but you can't take it with you. Only a relationship with God and with other believers lasts forever. And yes, there will be times in your life where you might get burned. You fall away from God, but don't let it last any longer than it needs to. Call on God. Seek forgiveness and be restored to God. Choose this day to seek to live with and for God. To know God so that others might know God. To experience God and to share those experiences with the people you know. To see the mighty moves of God. And to help others see that movement of God too. Yes, when you play with fire, you might get burned, but when you're faithful to God, God will be glorified, and God will bless you and use you to draw others to Himself. Isn't this what we're called to do? To be in relationship? A relationship that lasts forever? Don't be afraid. Take courage and serve God. Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you that you are faithful even when we are faithless. And God, that even when we can't help ourselves, you help us. Even to go to places we cannot see. Help us, Almighty God, to be obedient. To be obedient children who follow you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might be empowered to do the things that you have called us to do. And Lord, help us to remember that you are indeed always, always with us. In Jesus' name we pray these things, and all God's people said, amen.